Welcome everyone to the Synapse podcast, where we explore entrepreneurship, personal growth, and emotional intelligence. My name is Alex Caban, and today I'm honored. I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm radiant to be able to receive Jade Arantes, who has been a friend and a person I admire a lot for many, many years. I invited her to this podcast because of her journey. Her life journey is just inspiring. She's just a beautiful soul. She's someone I really enjoy a lot to spend time with. And I really want everyone to be able to get to know her today. So welcome, Jade.
Thank you. The admiration is mutual. And I'm truly honored and happy to be here and have this talk with all of you.
I like to introduce Jade by saying that, you know, she's a dropout student and she dropped out many times from many careers at university. And she really went to look for her own path, for her authentic self. And this is how she was able to create the Institute for Nonviolent Communication around Brazil that is impacting so many lives and families and businesses and making such a difference that I get goosebumps when I talk about what she's doing with her co-founders and everything. Do you want to introduce yourself, Jade? Who are you?
Oh, that is a deep question, isn't it? We can get into a very philosophical aspect to this question of who am I, but well, what comes up for me when I think of who am I? I'm a person that's passionate about being inspired and look for, guide my actions, like I'm only going to act after I'm inspired. So I'm always searching for content, and that's how I got to meet you, Alex. And you are such a source of inspiration and learning and support for me in my journey, which I'm also very grateful. Well, I play entrepreneurship for a career in a life. That's a big part of who I am and what fills my days. And I study entrepreneurship and self-development for work and also for fun. I work with nonviolent communication in promoting it as a trainer, as an entrepreneur, as a public speaker. And I truly believe that a path for beautiful inner transformations, relationship transformations, and this to transform the systems. And social change, which is also a big passion for me.
Wow, I love when you say that you're passionate about inspiration and that you're constantly looking for that. And when you say I search it for work but also for fun, right? This is more than career, it's like your life mission.
Yes.
It's all integrated, I can feel it.
Yes, and I really value it being, because when you stop and think about it, the most time of the week and the month and eventually your life is dedicated to work, so might as well search for fun and inspiration in it.
Wow. I want to start going directly into the pain, going directly into the crisis, because I think that's what people really love to hear here, is talking about your trajectory and a bit where you come from. And I know how how trying to be a good girl and following what society wants you to do instead of looking inside has caused some damage. And could you tell us a bit about this journey?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, makes sense to think about being the good girl, because that's who I was for most of my childhood and teenage years and coming into adult life. I was really proud of being an A student and following the rules. I didn't really connect as being a rebel in any way. I had my tastes that wouldn't always follow the norm, but so I followed the rules. I went into studying for uni and I was thinking about what's the career for me, what's the path. I was very into philosophy at the time, but I had a very clear instruction from my parents, like, philosophy, no, there's no path there for you. And since I was very good in math and physics, I got into engineering university and second best university of the network engineering, which was the course I chose here in Brasilia, Universidade de Brasilia. And yeah, that's when I realized that's a very painful path for me, because when I was at university, I started experiencing very high anxiety and some depression. I was smoking, I was drinking a lot. I gained a lot, lots of weight. I was 20 kilos bigger than I am today. And I was miserable. And in engineering, that's where I found entrepreneurship. I was in the junior enterprise, and that was like my lifeline, my go-to, my safe space, because that was really exciting for me. And I went into the company inside the junior enterprise, and I became president in 1.5 years without never joining an actual project to do engineering stuff. So that talks about a lot about not really finding myself in that space, but finding very important skills. I was out of the junior enterprise because it's a small career. In 2 years, you're through. And then I was like, what am I doing with my life? I was really drinking to go to bed. And then the opportunity of doing an exchange year in University of Brighton came up in the Science Without Borders. That was a project in Brazil of collaboration between governments and exchanging students between universities. And then I found that I was in a really bad shape. I was having some panic attacks. And then I realized that's not the path for me, and started the decision of dropping out. And that's where I found your TED Talk. And I thought about, I will work with this guy someday. Didn't know doing what. I was maybe something IT at the time, which was what I was studying. And yeah, things turned out in a very different path. And I'm starting to get out of the pain. So let me stop here and see how this is landing.
Wow. I hope everyone is able to feel the emotion when I'm feeling when she talks about being miserable and drinking to go to sleep and, you know, really having these panic attacks. And it's amazing to see how you're able to connect back with this pain and suffering, but still be completely right here, right now, fulfilled. And, you know, these most painful moments are connected to the victory. Crisis and victories always come together. And I'm sure you will be able to tell us how this has helped you become who you are today as well. Can you tell us a bit on how these difficult moments that you passed, how do they help you today in what you do today? You can tell us a bit more about what your reality looks today and how this has helped you.
Yes, thank you. Decisive and turning point for me was during the exchange year. I was in a such high level of anxiety that on my first exam, I was unable to get out of the bus and go take the exam at uni. And then I received an email from the professor asking, what happened? I'm concerned about you, come talk to me. And that was, whoa. How that's such a different experience from what I had in university in Brazil. You were just a number, and if you didn't take an exam, you'll have a zero, and then you'll have to deal with it. And I went to talk to him, and he was super understanding. He said, come do an exam afterwards. And that was my first experience with empathy. And that's how I started having a better relationship with my pain and how it brings me here. Is like, talk to people, talk about what you love, talk about what you are going through, and receive support. And then you start making decisions based on how you're feeling, what does make sense for me. So that was a shift, because before my decision-making process was based on what am I supposed to do, what's going to bring me success and ease and money and prestige. And so I was searching for some rule book outside of me of how I should live my life and build my career. And then experiencing this type of pain and not being able to perform in any way in what I was doing in terms of studying and building a profession was, okay, I need to change my decision-making process. And when it paralyzes you, you gotta change the question and start asking yourself, okay, so what is it that I want to do? What is it that makes sense to me? And I got, for the first time, in touch with the sense of service. And I, for the first time, understood that having a job is not about serving my life, it's about serving others. And that's what brings joy, real joy to my life. So I started looking, okay, so what are some of the problems in the world? And I found myself, like, I found the term anxiety. And I'm like, wow, that's a shared experience with a lot of people in the world. So I started really wanting to help people then and realizing that my pain was shared. So let's do something about it to change, not only for me, but also for others. And empathy being this very beautiful companion throughout all of the way.
I have to ask you this question because this is too interesting to not jump in a bit. When you say making decisions based on how you're feeling versus how you're supposed to, can you give some example for people listening to be able to see what does that mean concretely? And for example, when you started doing that, what kind of decisions have you made different?
Yeah, thank you. So when I received this support from the teacher, he forwarded me to a mindfulness program at university, and I got in touch with like breathing. just being conscious about breathing. And in Brighton, you have the ocean line, the pier and the beach. And I would go there as my peaceful spot. And I would sit down, and I remember the first time I was sitting down looking at the ocean and my head wasn't full of thought. And I was just in touch with sensation. And I remember like experiencing 5 seconds of that, and then like something must be wrong because I was so used to worrying. But I started in that experience getting in touch with my body and feeling, because I was mostly numb and unaware of it, and just aware when it was like an anxiety crisis. And one day when I started asking myself these questions, like, what is it that I want? Nothing would come up. Like, maybe fear would come up because there was no clear answer. And I remember one day when you just sit in those questions and wait patiently and persist, things will start coming up your way. Like your attention will go to what brings you joy and interest and inspiration. And I woke up one day and I like, what if when I go back to Brazil, I don't go straight back to university to finish engineering? Because there would be only 1 year missing. Like, what if I take a semester and just explore different things and read books and see what really... And at that point, when I that thought, that possibility came to my mind, my whole body like relaxed. And I don't think before asking myself these questions and practicing some mindfulness, I would even notice it, but just like that peaceful sensation and like... So it fits in the body. Like, this makes sense. When you experience that, then you can, like, the decision is made already. You know that's the thing, because you want to keep feeling that way. And so you have not only your thoughts and logic, but also how you feel in the body, what makes sense, what brings peace, what brings joy as a guide for decision-making, what you want to do with your life.
You moved from your head through breathing, through your heart, through your guts, to really be following.
Yes, and experience a sense of alignment and integrity. Yes.
Mm. Wow. And you mentioned that the job is not for you, it's for society, it's for serving others, it's for solving a problem. This makes a good transition to the Institute and what you do today. Can you share with the people listening what is your company, what is the mission, and concretely what you do today?
Yes. Yes, yeah, so throughout the journey, I was working with you at the time. We were having a project together. And I came in touch with this concept of nonviolent communication, and I've never heard of it before. I was reading some things about Gandhi, and I thought that maybe it had something to do, and I Googled it. I found a 9-hour video on YouTube of like an audio book of Marshall Rosenberg, who synthesized NVC, nonviolent communication. Was kind of reading the book, and I didn't sleep the whole night listening to it. And I bought the book the next day and started reading it, and wouldn't talk about anything else, and wouldn't talk about anything else with you. And then you introduced and brought a training for us with Mark Avanzo, which is also such an important person in my journey, an important teacher. And it made sense for me because I was able to translate my experience with anxiety in what I was really needing, what requests I had for myself, which are some components of NVC. And it helped me so much think about my relationships, but it also had that social change aspiration and vision. I'm like, I need to dive in deep. And at that point, I had already quit university and said, okay, that the academic path is not the path for me. So I really wanted to study nonviolent communication. And I thought, well, we gathered some friends. You were in the project at the beginning, and like, let's create a school that will teach me. So we created with a group of co-founders the Institute, Instituto CNV Brasil, which is Brazilian NVC Institute. And the idea for me was, okay, so I don't have an institution today that I want to enroll, so I'll create one and be a student in it. And I have this relationship with the project. I think I was first a student, and after events and trainings, only then I started also facilitating and teaching. We say you don't teach NVC, you just express from it and talk about it, and yeah, it's already in the body, we just have to remember it.
Wow, I love three things. One, you said no to the studies in a moment where clearly the normal thing would have been to finish, you had to do it and you said no, and the body confirmed, and you know, it just, your shoulders dropped, literally we can feel it. And then this allowed you to create space to find yourself, right? That's why you came to the Baha'i meeting. That's why you came to talk to me after seeing my TED talk, and we started working together, and that allowed us to bring Mark and to have the nonviolent communication teacher. So there was this making space in your life by saying no to things, and by no to things that you should do, that you have to do, you know? That's so important for everyone listening. And that allow her to find the love of her life, nonviolent communication, let's say. And when you find the love of your life, it's not like, oh yeah, maybe I could do it. You know, it's intense. Like, she listened 9 hours and then buy the book and read it. And you know when it's a real love, you know, there is intensity there. And then I love the last part, because today we have the self-education industry, which is an industry that is, you know, it's more than 300 million a day, and it's going towards a billion a day, according to Forbes, in the next few years. So it's really the new school for humanity that is being born outside of the academic kind of old structures we have. So Jade, you created your own school. That's really what you did as a student to be able to learn, and now you're running the school.
Yes. And people would tell me, like, because I quit engineering and then I really tried. I did philosophy in the same university as I did engineering, 1 year of it, and psychology in another university. And I'm like, no, like, I'm sitting down 4 or 5 hours here and I don't want to be here. And because I had found this compass of curiosity before, and I really wanted to follow that. And the next thing would bring the next thing. I would spend an afternoon seeing TED Talks, and then I would see one that really sparked my interest. And I would say, okay, this person, what does this person study? Like, what did they read? And then I would follow that path, and that would lead me So you're studying what really brings joy and what really is serving you, and then you're finding ways to promote and multiply that. But also you're searching the skills that you need to be doing what you're passionate about.
I can imagine so many people will be thinking, I also want to create my own school, but it must not be easy, right, to do that. And you clearly had to look for competencies, and you were not an entrepreneur that was born in an entrepreneur family with, like, you know, so you had to start from scratch. How was the beginning, and how did you get started in terms of, you know, running a business that I know today is quite successful? And how was this entrepreneurship journey for you?
Yeah, thank you. Well, the thing, I think I was in some ways a kind of annoying person, because I learned through the empathy experiences that you really need to connect to create bridges and everything. And I would just talk to people at first. I had some experiences with entrepreneurship in engineering school. So I would go to like startup weekend, to be a staff member, and I would just really be close to the mentors and say, what do you work with? And talk about that. And then after having an interest in something, like when our relationship is a beautiful example of that, we met in a Baha'i meeting that I was curious about. I didn't know what it was about. And we started talking, and you invited me to a group study. I'm like, yes, let's be around people. And then I found nonviolent communication. We went to a systemic constellation of organizations together, and I was a very interested person there. And then, okay, I thought to myself, let's meet this person. And I went and talked to her, Samara, and we talked about nonviolent communication, and then opportunities started coming up. And we received a training, an NBC training with Mark Avanzo. He flew from India to Brazil. The training would be just for us, the two of us. And we were like, no, let's bring other interesting people. And we met Nola, which is my business partner and co-founder today, because you're talking about your interests and it's resonating in people. But also, I had this concern, like, it's not there was joy and inspiration, but there was a lot of fear, because I didn't know, like, I didn't have certainty, predictability of results and everything. And I thought to myself, I had this thought, I don't want to be marginalized in these passions, you know, and I don't want to be struggling. I want to have comfort and ease, and I want to travel. What skills do I need to be able to be studying, like to create my school and keep nourishing my interest in nonviolent communication? I need marketing skills. I don't know the first thing about marketing. Who knows about marketing? And then you go and learn. I need to have a conscious relationship with finances, because I won't have this salary every month. So how will I handle finances? And then you go and read a book about it. And even if you think that's boring, that's such a skill, and your relationship is, this will allow me to follow my dream, that it makes sense. You're not doing it because you need to, but because you know that will allow you to follow your dreams. And then you get very clear in not wanting to be good at everything, because that's tiring and boring. So get clear of what's my weaknesses. I am not good with details, and I'm not very good with planning. Who is? Let me partner with this person. And so we created people, and today we're seven people, seven women, with a team of women. And it was built like, okay, you're very good in creating bridges with other trainers. I'm not. You do that. And I don't want to be good in everything. I develop the skills where I find my strengths, and where I have weaknesses, I develop relationships and partnerships for us to build it together and accomplish our dreams together.
Wow. This is fantastic, Z. How you're able to connect with the first, the energy that you had, right? What was the reason that I brought Mark first because you were, when I mentioned nonviolent communication, you showed such energy and interest. You say, okay, this resonates, not like Constellation or other things. We've done coaching, we've done so many things, but your energy is what also influenced me to bring him. And then your energy to find the students for this school was what made it possible, right? For this to happen again and again, and to find your co-founders. And so this is really a message for everyone to really allow yourself to quickly fall into your passion and read the book the same night and speak about it and not lose time. Because, you know, if you are, but really is not serious right now, I have this, I have to finish what I started, we can lose things, they can pass, right? And despite the fear of not having certainty, predictability, you really said, okay, I want to be a successful entrepreneur. I want this comfort while doing what I love. So I will acquire the skills that I need, marketing, finance, and I will find the people, right? So this is emotional intelligence, really. This is ability to be able to work with other people, because I guess it was not easy and you had to work a lot on yourself. And this is the difference between people that can accomplish great things or not, is their emotional intelligence, their ability to work with, you know, like all these women together. I imagine that you have to apply and work a lot on yourself in order to make this business keep growing, keep serving your clients and have success. So really developing your emotional intelligence was key also, in addition to these hard skills that you just mentioned, I imagine.
Yes, definitely. And it's so important to keep a fresh mind and allow yourself to be learning all of the time. And I think, like, sometimes culture and the status quo is asking of us to be masters and to be very good at things and to be specialists. And when you're requiring yourself to be great at everything, you're not allowing yourself to develop. So, like, allow yourself to be a beginner and have a beginner's mind and talk to people from that beginner's mind, because that also creates a safe space in relationships for people to own what, like, to be a beginner as well and go from there. And also, nonviolent communication is such a generous path for us, because it's a path for development in relationship. And so doing partnership is not always easy. Like, sometimes people think because we work with nonviolent communication, we don't have conflict. We have several, but we made a choice of studying and developing and multiplying and talking about a thing that will allow you and help you transform your conflicts and create connection and opportunities for creativity. So we are choosing that challenge in the relationships. And I cannot name enough how important it is to have people around you with doing this path. Like, have your friends to, okay, Alex, can you listen for me? Like, doing 30 minutes, I'm having the hardest time working with Lily this week. I'm really struggling. And then I receive your empathic support, and then I have more tools and energy and inner space and resources to deal with these challenges. So
asking for help.
Yeah, I think it's really, yes. Like, invite the sadness, invite the fear, invite the anxiety, invite the insecurities to the journey, because they're beautiful teachers. Ask for support in that, and then you'll develop yourself. Like,
this is such an important sentence. Yeah. Inviting the fear, the anxiety. This makes a whole difference to, you know, oh, I'm doing this podcast and I feel a bit anxious. Is it like I want to talk about so many things, and sharing it is makes the journey so different from, you know, repressing it and saying, no, I can't have these emotions here. Shut them down. Let's keep going. It's very different.
Yes. Exactly.
And what will you say, Jade, are the limiting beliefs that you had during this whole transformation journey of growing your business and developing as a person that you got rid of? And what are the ones that maybe you still have today that you're struggling with?
Yeah, thank you for this question. I think what big one is, I need a paper that will tell me what I can and can't do. So I thought I really needed like a degree, a diploma, to then feel like I am able to contribute to people into life. And that's like, that's a lie. Because you understand that a paper is what? Is a strategy to build trust. It's a strategy to open doors, to create opportunities. It's a strategy for self-esteem, maybe, to like to feel competent. What are other paths? A paper, a degree, a diploma is good for opening doors. So are relationships. A degree, a paper is important to build trust that, you know, you have studied, you have competency in what you're talking about. Talk about what you studied, talk about your references, talk about what you're passionate about, talk about your experience. How did you apply this content in your life? That also builds trust. So, yeah, and sometimes we have invitations in the company that need that paper to go in, but then you have the relationships and this network support around you that can open these doors with you. So not being a hostage of a paper, of like a title that's really supporting me in terms of a limiting belief that I left behind. A limiting belief that I have today. Maybe I need some coaching on that. It's a bit invisible for me at the spot. But I think money, I still have some work to do with money. Yeah, I have this taking risks in terms of, like, I know what will our financial results will be the end of this year, but next year we'll still harvesting all of the impacts of the pandemic and everything. And sometimes I get in this very tense mode of I need to save everything that I earn and I can't spend anything. And that sometimes brings me to think about projects based on fear. And that kills a bit of the creativity and the joy and the inspiration. And so it's a remaining alert and conscious relationship that I'm nourishing and wanting to cultivate is let me be very clear on how money is motivating me right now and making sure my decisions are not coming from fear and scarcity, but are coming from knowing that money is life energy and I want it to serve me and not keep me hostage. And I'm not always successful in that. It's a work in progress.
The woman I was interviewing yesterday in the French podcast, Justine, she said her advice was she always made decisions thinking she has 100,000 euros in the bank account. That's really what got her this amazing business.
That's amazing.
Gets you out of fear. Even if she was 70K in debt, she will think about that. And then you go for really what's meaningful for you, right? And what about habits, yes. Jade? What are today your most important habits and principles? You talked about watching TED Talk, you went to courses, you did coaching. What are the key things today that you use for keep growing? You mentioned about this, you know, empathy with others. What will you recommend to people listening in terms of maybe books or things that can help them transform?
Yes, thank you. First of all, mindfulness is still a very generous partner in my life. Practicing mindfulness meditations or mindful walks, just breathing and checking in with yourself. How am I today? What are my sensations? What's the overall emotion? And sometimes following that with a journal, because we're taking a lot of information, but processing that and how's that living in me and how am I feeling about it? What am I wanting? How's this impacting me? Is also so important for us not to be passive all the time and taking in the world, but creating things as well. So mindfulness is a big one for me. Reading, like learn every day. Maybe we say, I'll dedicate 2 hours every day for reading. And that becomes kind of a struggle. Like, dedicate the time available. dedicate 5 minutes a day and that's enough. And then tomorrow, maybe you'll have an hour. And I don't really push a lot when, like, sometimes I'm reading a book and I'm arguing with the book, like I'm not liking, but that there's learning, there's life there. And sometimes I'm reading a book because it's a bestseller and I think I need to read that book, but there's no life, there's no joy or annoyance that will teach me anything. And I won't do it just because I have to. Like, you don't need to finish that book, go to the other one. So I think it's just really following what's alive for you, whether it's the happiness or the resistances, because the resistances teach a lot as well. And a habit that I'm developing, and I wouldn't say it's fully integrated, but is being conscious about resting times. I think rest is a skill, and we need to develop that skill in order to be able to keep creative, keep open for relationships. So being very intentional about resting time, like now I'll play my guitar, it's been a very good companion for me, or I'll just sit in the balcony and contemplate the view for 5 minutes, and that's with intention. And also having an empathy buddy, someone to check in for an hour every 2 weeks, maybe therapy or just an empathy buddy, someone to talk to how what's up for you, what's alive, what's bugging you, what's bringing you joy, and have this support system. I think when you have empathy buddies and friends and people around you, like they become witnesses of your life, and it's so much easier to find meaning. So I couldn't put more emphasis in that, surround you with people you love you and support you and are inspiring and challenge you and will tell you the truth, like have those people around.
I love what you said about, you know, reading and mindfulness that you can have in a walk and meditation. In the program Power of Action that I accompany a lot of the people listening, we really learn the success model about being in the present, living in the present and going to the past and the future, but really this is where life happens, right? So this is key, and the fact that you're gentle with yourself, you know, of course you want to grow, of course you want to push, of course you want to learn, but you check if it's the right book or if it's the right intensity, and learning to rest, you know, learning to have these angels or these empathy buddies to listen. And this makes the whole difference, right? I do workout, I have push days, pull days, and I have rest days as well. So it's so important for growing and building sustainably something. And to finish, maybe, what would you like to share, you know, with people listening to us? They are quite often people that want to become entrepreneurs, but maybe they are still, you know, at the fear level, or they haven't found their passion yet, like you, as they just, you know, go full out on something. They have maybe a few ideas, but they haven't found the people. Some of them have found the people already to be with, but they see so many skills that they are lacking as well. And so much opportunities to work on yourself as well. You know, what's your final message to everyone listening? What are the advice that you want to give to everyone?
What's coming up for me right now when I resonate with this question is just the advice of challenge the shoulds that you have with yourself. If you have a story that you should start right now, challenge that. If that's paralyzing you and not bringing you forward, but you have a story that you should be this type of person, or you should do study this, or you should start your company right away, or you should learn more, challenge those shoulds. Some time ago, I moved from Brasilia to São Paulo, and I'm a person that really enjoys nature, and I'm an introvert. And São Paulo is like this huge city, with crowded city and big buildings and almost no nature. It's like a concrete jungle. And I thought to myself, Brasília, we're very much in Brasília right now. We should expand. And for the Institute to have longevity, we should be in São Paulo. And I moved there and I was miserable there. And so, yeah, challenged those shoulds. And then I came back to Brasília and the pandemic was a very good break to stop and see, like, am I living the life that I'm really wanting? And just realizing that, no, I'm coming back to Brasília. And so, yeah, challenge those shoulds. Why should you start right away? Or why should you wait another year? What are you really wanting to care for? And moving to São Paulo, I was really wanting to care for the longevity of the Institute. Then we went online, we went fully digital, and we started producing a lot of content. And that was a path that was caring for the same thing, the same needs, that brought me joy and allowed me to live where I'm happy. So challenging the shoulds, I think it's a big one for me.
Wow, what a beautiful ending word, Jade. Thank you so much. I think this will inspire everyone to go and read Marshall Rosenberg's book, Nonviolent Communication, because that's where we can liberate ourselves from the must, should, the haves to, and this language that, you know, takes life away. So yes. Thank you for that, Jade.
Thank you. It's also always a joy talking about MDC and reminiscing the journey. It's, yeah, I'm feeling lots of gratitude right now.